Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
From the bottom. gonna do. I'll make your body cream with my sex machine. I won't stop until I hear your mother scream. I wanna do, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Ah, yeah, yeah.
I'm coming for you. Welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and my beautiful female co-hosts, Felicia and Strawberry. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight on a Friday. Everyone from north to south, east to west, and the people in Hawaii, United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, especially Iron Moody and Murray Glasgow. How y'all doing over there? I want to thank my friends in Nigeria and Cameroon, Africa, Pakistan, Peru, Australia, Singapore, France, and Iraq. And so tell your friends about us because we're growing leaps and bounds all over the globe. But tonight is going to be a special show. Tonight we have our guest Donna Williams, who is going to be on, and she's going to share some of her spiritual poetry. But it didn't start there. You know, everybody got a pass, and she has one too. So, you know, we don't want nobody to be judgmental. But if you got a comment or you want something to say, you know, call to 347-945-6003. Hit the one key, and I will open up your mic. Until then, don't worry about it because your mic will be shut down unless you hit the one key. So without further ado, I first want to say hello to my beautiful co-hosts. How y'all doing, ladies?
We're beautiful.
Oh, that's good.
Long week.
Oh, girl, what you say? Whew. I know. I tried getting the details on Felicia. You know what I've been through. So, woo, woo, woo. But anyway, let's say hello to our beautiful guest, Donna Williams. How are you, darling?
I'm truly blessed. Thank you for having me on here today. Really appreciate it.
You know, Donna, when you come on my show, I consider this as home. You can always come back if you publish something new or just something you just want to talk about and get off your chest, because I want people to understand we don't just have writers on the show. We have songwriters. We have dancers. We have people that are shamans and psychics and people who call themselves ghostbusters. I mean, we go the gamut. You know, people who was looking for Sasquatch. So we do it all. I prefer to have shows that's a bizarre, you know, and to a degree something that's interesting so people say, wow, really? Well, something that's, you know, we all can relate to. And we want to get into your past and how you got to where you were to where you're at now. And, you know, some, like I said before, no one should be judgmental because everybody's past ain't pretty. But whatever it is, on this show, we try to encourage our guests to be supportive, you know, and if you don't like this story, you know, you feel some kind of way about it, you can hit the one key and make your comment, and I can chew your ass out. Okay, that's how we do it up in here. Hey.
All right.
We don't play. What I don't do, my girls will. So, Donna, you got the floor, darling. What happened? You was born, then what?
Well, my story is probably similar to a lot of other people's stories that they really don't get an opportunity to talk about. My story has changed my life. My life is amazing now through all. I actually was born and raised in Des Moines, Iowa. I've had problems through my life with my color. I am a black, bright-skinned young lady, and I had problems all through my life in school as a child with the black community as well as the white. See, back in the 60s, it was really hard for a bright-skinned woman, black woman, in society, because we were always judged by our color. You know, you hear the stories about black people who are bright-skinned or black people that are dark-complected, what they went through. Those stories are so real and so you know, so heartfelt in your heart when you're growing up and you're a child and you don't know anything about the world but what is given to you. I am the only bright-skinned black woman that was raised in the 60s in my family. I was the only one that didn't know who her father was. So I was treated badly. You know, I hate it. I'm going to hate that some of my family members are listening to this, but the truth must be told. Because how you treat somebody when they're young, they carry that throughout their life. No one has the right to judge anybody by their color, by their autism, or anything. You know, it's not right because racism is a big problem in our society, even today. And it's less for a bright-skinned woman now.
Well, Donna, can I say something to you real quick? You know, it's interesting that you said that because you were black and light-skinned, you was having issues. Because when I was growing up, it seemed like the people that were biracial or light-skinned black, they got over like a fat rat because everybody said, I want to get this a light-skinned sister, you know. And us, you know, regular toast-colored sisters or darker man, we was the one catching hell. So it's strange to hear from your perspective that it wasn't kind because from my perspective, y'all got on my damn nerve because everything, you know, I'm keeping it real. I said, what? But so, you know.
Well, when you hear my story, you'll understand totally what I'm saying.
All right, sister, bring it on because enlighten me as well.
I hated my color. I hated being light-skinned. I hated everything about it. See, where I grew up, I was taunted and teased every day and being called a white girl. You know, to where I kept to myself because I have a big family, and being the only bright-skinned one in that family, you want to fit in with everybody. So, you know, at Easter time when my sister was getting her hair laid down and, you know, and I wanted my hair done too. And my mom was refusing to do it, so she acted like she was doing it. And, I mean, I had a fit when I seen that pressing comb wasn't going through my hair. You know, I was teased all the time being called a white girl to the point that I would take off and run. I had an incident that happened. I was running from my memory of it all, I was running away from my family. We would always walk in groups wherever we went, and they started calling me a white girl. You have to understand, I was the only one in the family that didn't know who her father was. So when they said your mom was raped by a white man or your dad is white and you don't know who your father is, that was hard because I loved my race. So I would take off running, and to make a long story short, I got hit by a car. As a matter of fact, I got ran over by a car.
Oh, damn.
It ran over my head. And the reason why I know that is because when the ambulance got there, there were tire tracks over my face.
Damn.
So when I was rushed to the hospital in trauma, you know, they didn't know what they were dealing with. I walked away the next day without a fracture, nothing.
Wow.
I didn't have a broken bone. I had nothing wrong with me. I was falling out of cars. I remembered my mom. Well, I don't remember. I take that back. My mom, you know, the story that they gave me is I was always falling out of cars. I was so accident prone. And I fell out of the car, and the kids were like, because, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, they didn't require us to use seatbelts. So
I know,
they
but
would
you,
just
you
place
made
all
a point, Donna. You made a point. You said they was telling you people in your family that your mother was raped, taunting you and by a white guy, and you didn't know your dad. So at the end of the day, did you ever find out who your dad was, and was your mother actually raped and conceived you since you were different from your siblings?
I found out who my father was when I was 10 years old. No, he wasn't white. He was bright-skinned. As a matter of fact, I looked just like him and had a little half-sister that later in years died in her sleep, you know. Yeah, it was really hard for me, though, to go through all them years and not know who he was. And even in the white community, you know, there was so much racism going on. I don't care what color you was. The children didn't see that, you know. The adults didn't see that. If you were black, there was racism. So when you get treated badly by your own race, where do you fit in?
Exactly. Well, on that note, my girl's got questions for you. I'm going to start with Felicia first, and then let Strawberry ask her question. Go ahead, Felicia.
Yes.
I'm just still trying to get past the you getting hit by a car and you running over your head and you walking away the next day. I'm still trying to get by that. So, I mean, you definitely have a purpose here. So I don't even know what to say. I'm just kind of stuck because, like, Terry, like you said, I'm brown. I was dark-skinned, so I was called smoke, spook, whatever you could name.
Right.
You know, we had it bad. The light-skinned girls, my best friend, she was light-skinned, and she had to shake. The boys liked the light-skinned girls. It was not cool to be a dark-skinned sister when I was growing up, and I grew up in the 70s and, you know, 80s. Mm-hmm. Because I was born in the late 60s, but she got all the play. So now, you know, it's just hard. And where do you fit in? But I know that had to be really hard to not be accepted by either race. Where do you fit in? So, like, how did you deal with that?
I didn't. I just held it all inside throughout my whole life to the point that I really had no friends. Because I love my sister, and I hope if she's listening to this, don't take this personal. All of my friends, after they were my friends and they met my sister, they moved from me to my sister.
Well,
they wanted nothing to do with me when they met my sister.
Wow.
Well, got three new friends here, Felicia, Strawberry, me. So, you know, hey, group
That's
is
right.
getting bigger.
And guess what? Just your circle, the less problems. I don't mind not having a bunch of people. I don't use the word friend too. I don't use that term loosely because everybody's not your friend. Some people come for a season. Everybody's not meant to stay. And when you're special like that, your circle not going to be big anyway. So don't feel too bad that you are. Because people might think that I'm, Terry, I tell you, don't I get a whole lot of love on social media, Terry?
Sure,
A lot of love. But guess what? I spend more time by myself than people will ever know. And it's not intentionally. It's just like that. So it's okay to have your circle small. You okay with that? I'm okay with it. You got to.
Yeah. And then we got Strawberry right here. She's so quiet, baby girl, so quiet in the background. Strawberry, you can actually
Strawberry.
Well, I'm very baffled about what all you've been through. I mean, it's sad, and it's very deep, actually. I was born in the 1980s, so I was fortunate that I didn't have to go through so much of the racism, even though it is still alive today. But the fact that you went through this, I'm very sad about that, you know. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, same question really that Felicia had. Like, did you ever talk to anybody about what you was going through? Did you talk to your family or anything of that nature?
Well, my mom, God bless her soul, she always tried to, you know, protect me. She tried to protect me even when I sheltered myself and wouldn't play and was kind of kept to myself. She brought me a kitten, you know.
Aww.
I guess that's why I don't like kittens now. It's because I had a kitten that I loved. I love this little cat. I don't like cats now, but I did then. And her boyfriend was very jealous and abusive to her. So I was going through dealing with my mom's abuse. And he took my cat out of her lap and threw it out of a three-story window. Thinking he was hurting her. So when I ran down the stairs screaming and crying at probably age 5, I seen my cat was laying on the ground and blood was coming out of its mouth. And I took that really hard because he died, you know, and I wasn't ready to. He was the only thing that loved me. You know, I felt. My mom, I know they love me in their own way, but he was the only thing that belonged to me, and he was colorful, so it wasn't racism in the kitten. So, you know, I took that real, really hard, and this is not even a tip of what I went through in life.
Well, you know something, Donna, we're going to hit the rest of that tip in a minute, but we're going to take a small break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about that tip of the iceberg and get there a little deeper and share your story. So stay with us. We'll be back into it, too.
Thank you.
Controversial. Real. Unparalleled. Author is Terry E. Lyle. Has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity, becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for he will not leave you.
Oh! One time things got so bad until I had to go to one of my friends and talk to him. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm having problems with the woman that I love. It seems that I call her on the phone and I just can't get her to answer. And then I went to her house and I saw a car parked in the driveway. I knocked on the door, but still my knocks went unanswered. And then I went home and I watched television until television went off. And then I played my records until I just didn't want to hear them anymore. And finally I went to bed, but I found myself waking up a few hours later. And the tears were running down my face. And my friend told me, he said, Lenny, you just ought to forget about her. But I told my friend, I said, you know, maybe you've never been in love like I've been in love. And maybe you've never felt the things that I felt. But this is what I told my friend. I said, you know, sometimes you get lonely. You get lonely. You get lonely. And I cry. Fill up in the wells of my eyes, oh baby. And then it got so bad, it got so bad. So one time I thought I'd roll myself up in a big old ball and die. And then I met you, darling, and you smiled at me. Oh, oh, it was such a pretty smile, yes it was. Reach out your hand. You help me. You help me. You help me. Oh, I'm glad, baby. I'm glad, baby. Oh, oh, baby. Oh, yeah. I won't ever leave you, baby. I won't ever grieve you, baby. I'm gonna love you. Oh, oh. I'm glad, baby. Oh, oh, yeah, baby. Oh, 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 I love you. 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 Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you.
Shout out to two people, and the first one is to my mom that's going through some medical issues and is rough dealing with Alzheimer's, and I want her to know that I love her, even though I can't handle it sometimes, but the love don't change. And another special shout out to a special friend of mine, Don Darjay. Now, Don Darjay, he tried to keep things to himself, and he just recently went through a medical issue himself, which had him hospitalized. And right now he's home trying to recuperate. So, you know, if y'all know him, give him some prayers. Send some prayers up on his behalf as well, you know. And like, you know, the song says, because I love you. You know, the thing that we don't do today, you know, we just take people for granted. We don't let people know that we love them. You know, there's a difference between loving a person, being in love, or I just love how you think. But whatever you want to call it, let people know that they mean something to you, you know. So, you know, yes. Don, if you're out there listening, got mad love for you, brother, you know. So keep doing what you got to do. Keep getting stronger one day at a time. Don't get frustrated because, you know, the devil is not going to win. So with that being said, I also want to thank Don for introducing me to Donna Williams, our guest tonight. So, you know, he's on Facebook. Give him a shout-out. But y'all ladies who's giving him shout-outs, he's not looking for a wife. That's locked down. So, boop. Keep it moving. Okay, I made my points there. So I need to get my crayon and draw, you know, write it out, draw a picture. The handwriting's on the wall. So I'm going to start again with my beautiful co-host, Felicia. You can ask Donna. No, sorry. I'm going to start with Strawberry this time. Strawberry, you ask your question first and make your statement, then Felicia. And we're going to start where we stopped off at, where our guest was saying that she was being, you know, treated bad within the family network by being a light-skinned sister. Now, you know, people don't believe it, but there is an inter-racism, because I know that when I was in California, all of my friends was white, not because I chose them. It's because we had the same fundamental liking for certain things, and we had the same moral compass guiding us. So we got along well. And I hate to say this, some of the black people, man, they were strictly, you know, buttholes, you know. They got on my nerve, man. They was always trying to take something from me. They trying to be slick, and you know. So, you know, and people was getting mad at me saying, huh, you don't want a black guy and you black. You know, I was getting, you know, that thing. But, no, I didn't want a black guy because I was black. You know, I'm like the Rainbow Coalition. I don't care if you blue, green. You could be a Martian. You know, if you treat me right, we can talk, you know. But I don't want to waste my time with a fool. And it just seems that the people that I was running across in California that were black were into drugs, arrogant, abusive. So I don't do that, you know. So I can understand the inner racism. So I'm going to shut my mouth and let Strawberry have a little shot at it. And then my beautiful Felicia. And then, you know, we're going to see where we come out with this.
Well, actually, I was actually wondering, back in the 1960s, I'm familiar about the Ku Klux Klan. Did you ever, like, see them kind of like face to face? Like, were they really, really active back then?
Let me get some air across your lawn and burn it.
Oh. Are you asking me that question?
Yes.
Well, I knew all about them. I knew all about them. They were talked about a lot in my home and community. I didn't have a bad experience with them, but I don't know if anybody ever heard of the Hells Angels. But
I know.
There was a motorcycle gang. Yeah. And they followed me. They chased me. Actually, I had to hide. I had to hide down in the ditch for like half an hour to 40 minutes from them while they were roaming around, driving through the, you know, the parking lot, and because it was by an old school called Dowling. And they hacked, and they chased me for like 2-3 blocks, and I found somewhere safety. God put me there, and I kept my head down until I heard the last motorcycle go by, and I stayed down for like 10 more minutes, and then I ran to the recreation hall. I had a bad experience with that. They were chasing me. Yes.
How did you make it? I'm just trying to figure that out. How did you make it through all of that?
God did it.
God.
I mean, that's true. I was about to say that, but wow.
I had a lot of near-death experiences through my whole life, even since I've been an adult. We'll talk about that. So it was God. God and my mom. That was my strength.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Donna, I just wanted to. Man, you said the Hells Angels. When you said that, I'm like, yeah, I know about them. You know, I've heard a lot about them. But I'm just listening to what you're saying, and then it's ironic that you write poetry now, and you call it spiritual poetry. Let me ask you this: do you believe that all of because I too have had a really, really kind of tumultuous life. But I'm getting to a place where I'm beginning to accept what has happened and the things that go on and the things that I can't change and try to move forward. But do you believe, how much of your life do you believe plays a part in the talent that you have and utilizing? I'm sure you utilize life experience, because I'm a poet as well. I'm sure you utilize those experiences to write the poetry. Do you really believe that
your experiences with, so you can get to the place that you're in today?
Yes,
and
I do. Yes, I do. I gave my life back to the Lord. I was raised in church. My brother's father actually came to the hospital when my mom had gave birth to me. My real father was a musician and on the road all the time, but he asked to be my dad, and he signed the birth certificate, and he was a Christian, and he kept me in church 3-4 days out of a week. But when I walked away from God, I came back into God's life during the terrible divorce in 2010. And when I got baptized and anointed with the Holy Spirit, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning and had to grab a pen. And I wrote a poem that sent tears down my face the next morning because I thought it was a dream. And I wake up through the night, every night since then, with spiritual poetry. And when you hear this spiritual poetry, you're going to know that it's inspired by God. It's definitely not something I was thinking about. Some of my poetry doesn't even pertain to me. But, yes, I definitely feel in my spirit that God has me around for a reason, and it is to preach the gospel. And that's what I've been doing through my poetry.
Well, Donna, on that note, do you have one of your poems handy so we can...
I would like to.
I'm telling you before you start reading your poetry, Donna. Okay. Now, if it ain't good, you know, we don't lie up in here. We're gonna say, girl, ain't all that.
It should be heart touching. I actually wrote a poem, prayed on it, and I asked God to give me a poem to be the first poem to speak on. So this is the one I just wrote a few days ago.
Okay.
It says, I appreciate being on here today because my story will be heard. My spirit will be lifted because I'm given a chance to speak God's word. He allowed me to go through things in life to get where I am today. Even in my mess, I had God in my heart. I asked him to help me every time I prayed. I know I allowed some terrible things in my world. I wronged my family too. I entered the life of alcohol and drugs and wondered, God, when will I be through? I put myself in compromising situations that almost cost my life. At 14 years of age, I was almost raped by a guy who held me down with a knife. I sometimes wonder, what was wrong with me? Could it be my life is cursed? But even after that, a lot of years went by, things that happened to me got much worse. I was beaten with a brick. I laid in a pool of blood on the ground. Everything was scattered from my purse. My life is a testimony of the things that I've been through. But now I give my life to God, and he made me all brand new.
I just want to say for my opinion, from an A to a F, girl, A++, that shit was Bob Diggity gone, girl.
I'm not finished. He gave me now an opportunity and a chance in life to tell my story to all of you. I'm so grateful now to be alive. Satan tried to kill and destroy, but my father had a better plan for my life. Now my world is filled with happiness, love, forgiveness, and joy. Now I'm finished.
That's good, girl. That's
you go,
good
girl.
This is my suggestion. I know you're going to put it in a book and everything. Take that poem, make a whole bunch of copies, go to Dollar Tree, get a whole bunch of pretty frames, put that shit in a frame. When you go sit out your little table somewhere and do your little venue, put out your books, put those autograph things out there, and you can sell them for like $5 a piece because it ain't cost you nothing but, you know, a dollar, make some money, and it's cheaper
yes.
people buy. That's beautiful. I like that.
Yes, it is.
And the good thing about poetry, there's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong. You know, you got to just listen to what's between the words. And that's the beauty of poetry. It's all about being free to just do and be yourself. So
yes,
I really like your poem. It was really, really good.
Thank you.
And actually, when you were saying it, I could see
visualize that.
When you were speaking, and I could see it. So that's
I want anybody who's on the switchboard. You got a lot of calls on the switchboard, Donna. But if any of y'all want to make a comment or ask a question, please hit your number one key. That way we can open up the mic and let you talk to Donna. Otherwise, you can sit back and cut and listen. But this woman with this powerful poetry and her testimony, bless her heart, God do have you here for a reason. And I don't think it's happenstance that you're on this show, because just like you, me, Felicia, Strawberry, you know, everybody got a story, and you'd be surprised that when you look at some people and you think everything looks good because you're judging them by what you see, you don't know what we've been through, you know, but that is
Amen.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yes,
it was.
Oh, I have another poem that is really, yes. This poem says, God will never forsake you. As I think way back in time when I was a little girl, it seemed like there was just not enough room for me in this lonely world. No matter where I went, I just didn't feel like I fit in at school or even at home. I didn't have one friend. I just felt so different and thought there must be something wrong with me. Could it possibly be my color, or am I just plain ugly? I just felt so lonely, so very lonely inside. Would anyone really care if I lay down and died? My mother tried to protect me from the evil world I lived in. It made her so very happy when she thought I made a friend. I was just so accident prone, and I kept getting hit by cars, and every time that I got hurt, it would leave an ugly scar. But as I continued growing up, the world still didn't change. I kept getting into relationships that caused me so much pain by abusive men that just wanted to control my life. I thought their feelings would change for me if I became their wife. Then they turned me on to drugs. It was then I felt complete. I spent up all my money, and I ended up in the streets. I had no place to go. I had to give my children to their dad. My life became so lonely. I felt helpless, hopeless, and sad. Then I met someone that said Jesus was truly his best friend. Then I thought, if I introduce myself, would all my sadness and pain end? So I asked, how do I find him, and where could he possibly be? He said, you go into a quiet room and you get down on your knees. So I went on in the room, and then I shut the door, and before I got close to my bed, I just dropped down on the floor. I then said, please help me, Jesus. I feel so all alone. There's just no place in this world that I can call my home. I said, I've been a disappointment to everyone, and I feel so all alone. Jesus said, you're right about one thing. This place is not your home. You've been searching in wrong places to find yourself a friend, but I've been waiting for you for so very long to put all of your pain to an end. So now, my child, you finally found me. Now your life will be complete. No more drugs you will ever need, and no more hurt and pain you will ever feel, because now you're doing my will. So get up, my child. You wipe your eyes, and you take me by the hand, and together against this evil world, you and I will stand.
Girl,
you go,
know,
girl.
That part when you were saying about
you bad, girl.
Like, it was ugly and whatever, that made my heart feel tender, you know, because even though you're writing about your life, the words that you use to express your life, a lot of people can relate to that same emotion. You know, your stuff is
yes.
very powerful, you know, and it's going to do well. It's going to do really well, you know, and if we can do anything
Absolutely.
Here on Unmasked, and get that stuff out there or put it on my Facebook page or whatever, that's awesome,
yes.
you know, but that's the only thing I ask that, you know, when you get there to the top, you know, you need 3 extra tickets for me, Felicia, and Strawberry so we can see you get your award.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, definitely. And I also would like to, I would love to send a shout out to Don Darche too, because I met him on Facebook and he's been my inspiration.
Wow.
I talk to him daily, and I've been keeping him in my prayers. I keep you in my prayers, Don, because I know you're listening. He is such an awesome person and a true friend. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be talking right now. So I know it was all in God's plan. That's all I want to say.
Amen. She's still rhyming. Go on with your bad self. But, you know, so let me open this mic, because there's a person out here with the last 4 digits, 3560, that want to talk. It might be Mr. Darche, Mr. Magic himself. Well, let's see. Hello, caller 3560.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Don.
Hi, Don. Hello.
I hear on that she's making me proud.
Yes, great job.
I told her, don't worry about it. Terry, she'll take good care of you. She's afraid to kind of go on the radio a little bit, but I told her all she got to do is just trust you. You won't make her feel, you know, bad about anything. If anything, you are uplifter.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Miss Williams, man, she bad to the bone. You know, and her poetry, even though it's her life, it's the life of a lot of people. I can relate to a lot of things she said. And, you know, when you hear stuff that you can relate to, it kind of do something to your heart. It just makes you be still, you know. It makes you get rid of all the facades, and it humbles you. And your poetry humbles me by the truth in it, not that you just got some words together that rhyme. There is truth within the words. So God bless you, sister. Anytime you want to use Unmask or my Facebook, Twitter, whatever media sites that I got to, you know, help promote your stuff, I got you. You know, because I don't promote garbage, but this stuff is good.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be Kim West's new songwriter.
That's right. Hey.
I had to turn on to Miss Weston because she couldn't relate to the song as I was writing. She said mine's a little bit too nasty.
Well, you know, it's something for everybody. Different folks.
My stuff is too nasty, too.
You
know it's mine.
We need to write something together.
We all got some nasty stuff in us.
Yeah, they have these poets called the Pooh Nanny poets. They bad. But somebody
all right,
has
Pussy Poets, okay. For anybody who don't know Spanish, Pooh Nanny is the JJ, the P-U-S-S poetry.
I got an invite to write with them. The difference with them is they do their poetry, but they have people acting out this. They have them acting, on stage with them acting out what they're saying. And it gets real, I mean, handcuffs, you name it, they doing it. And somebody told me, I was like, oh, no, I write some nasty stuff, but I'm going to still be here. Pooh Nanny Poets is too much for me. And somebody said, no, you too much for the Pooh Nanny Poets. I'm like, okay, I'm done. So we need some good, clean poetry coming around here. Wrap us up in some real love and remind us and bring us back.
That's right.
People forget this is how we all got here. You know, people get to my nerve when they act like, oh, you're talking about sex. But you know something, if there was no sex, there would not be no you or no me. So, you know, let's keep it real. You know, sex is a part
no
of
sex,
life.
I
you know, it
right.
is what it is. But
okay,
I need to
I
take a little
right.
small break and come back with Donna so she can tell us more about her books and the costs and her websites. But stay with us. We'll take a real small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
All right.
Thank you.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there. Yeah. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen it.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Who's this at my house? Oh, hell no. I know ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Must be all kind of crazy for what I've done to you. I hope you understand that my heart is true. Mistakes I made, but I'm making change for you. Have I learned is your question? And my answer I have. But if you're expecting perfection, then we're not gonna last. This is not an excuse, I'm just telling the truth. Baby, I'm so sorry. I'm ashamed of me.
Shame on me.
Wish I'd never done you wrong.
Shame on me.
Every night of us I dream that I wake up in your But since you've been gone, my understanding has more than grown. I come to this conclusion over and over again. I don't want an enemy, I just want back my
so sorry, babe.
Well, that's Shame by Tyrese Gibson, and I'd like to thank Donna Williams for being here tonight. And real quick, Donna, you got a caller on the line who last four digits is going to be 9397. And I want you to answer her question because we got 3 minutes on the clock. So, Donna, caller, the last four digits, 9397. Caller. Are you still there?
Are you still there?
Last four digits is
9397.
Okay,
hey,
I'm mute here.
Hello?
Talking to you, lady. Hey, gentlemen, what? Father, you call later.
Sir, there's a lot of feedback. Line 9397. Could everybody else be quiet for a second and see if that person's still there? 9397, are you on the call?
Hello?
First three digits, area code 515. Are you there? Okay, you got your mute status. Donna, real quick, tell everybody about your books and how they can get a hold of you because you got 2 minutes and it's going to be all over.
Okay. My books are with Amazon, and you can buy them through Amazon, and the title is Elaine Spiritual Poetry, Edition 1.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm in the process of publishing 2 more books. One of them is my biography. I have finished it, and it's going to be really powerful. I was wondering if there was any way I could read this last poem. And
okay, you can, Don. You got 1 minute. Make it work.
This one says, don't worry, have faith. This goes out to everybody. In my life, I have so many sorrows. I worried about today and even tomorrow. Worried if I had any food to eat or if, again, I had to borrow. I worried wondering if I had a ride to work or if my ride took too long, I had to prepare myself to walk. I worry about a disconnect or an eviction, too. I stay in bad relationships and wondered when they'd be through. I worried about the weather and hoped it didn't snow. I had so many errands to run and didn't have a clue how I'd be able to go. Stress and worry consumed me every single day. So many bills piling up, I had no time to play. My mind kept telling me to talk to God and get on my knees and pray. But I had so much going on, I didn't know what to say. So I closed my eyes and I said, please, God, help me. I'm so lost and I don't know what to do. I walked away so very long ago and I don't know what to say to you. But God, will you please help me? No one understands my pain. I turned away, did my own will over and over again. Jesus said, my child, I've been reaching out to you, but you chose not to listen. When things started going bad in your life, it wasn't me. It was only Satan. You must leave all these things of the world alone and change the way you are, because the actions that you're choosing to take will one day leave your soul in ugly scars. You must have faith and only believe in me. Then you'll see everything in your whole world will change. Repent all of your sins to me and baptize in my name. No matter what you're going through, do not worry or even stress. You must show me that your faith is strong and that you can pass my test. If you travel in life with me, I'll make your wrong or right, and when the world is over, I'll carry you into my life. When I put my faith into the Lord, my life has truly changed. I repented all of my sins. I baptized in his name. I don't worry about my bills or food. He takes care of all of my needs. If I keep living right, when he comes, he won't forget about me. One day this evil world he will destroy, but my soul he promised to save. From this evil world I will be free, but through it all, I must always have faith.
Well, thank you for that, Dawn, and I want people to understand that, you know, her time ran out as far as people that were listening in that's not on the studio wall. Oh, well, they didn't get the ending, but the ones on the call, they did. And we want to thank you, Donna, for sharing that with us this week. And if you want to come back, just give me a holler. And I want to say good night to Felicia and Strawberry and all the people that was on the line. You had this switchboard lit up.
Thank you.
And that one person who was 515-9397 at the end, they didn't speak up, so they got shot out. So
I think that was my daughter. I actually heard her trying to get in, but
No one
can
hear.
Oh, well, let me see if we can put it right now, but it won't be on the recording. But we can hear it on the mic. Let me open her mic up. What's her name?
Unmuted.
Are you there, sweetie? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we
can,
hear
you.
Can you hear me, Mommy?
Yes, aww. I can, baby.
I love you. I'm so proud of you and everything that you've overcame. Like, you are a big inspiration for me to keep pushing and keep going. I listened to the whole show. Yeah,
I'm proud of you too, Tony.
You just pretty much got to the beginning of all the things that you've been through, but God did carry you through it all. So
wow.
You are definitely here for a reason.
Well, we might need to do a part
we are.
Donna.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
Because we haven't been able to get the whole story. So let me say this right now while we're on the air. If you want the very first Friday in July, or that's the second Friday. Okay, well, I don't know if that one's already booked. Okay, July is 7th. Okay. Mm-mm-mm. I don't know if the date's back here. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll put you down for July the 7th. If you can come back and do a part two and get everything out that you want to say.
Yes.
Okay.
I got
okay,
to
well,
power myself and
we'll
hold
you
on to your seat, you guys.
You'll be back. But we got to get up out of here. So good night to
thank
everybody.
Thank you so much. God bless
yeah,
you,
you're
guys.
You're welcome. Hugs and kisses.
Good night.
All right, ladies. Bye, Strawberry. Bye, Felicia.
Okay,
bye, baby girl. Bye, Halsey. Bye, Audrey. Bye, James in Baltimore. Everybody
bye.
Listening.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, we out of here. And she'll be back.
Bye-bye.
If you want to hear more
yes.
from Donna Williams, July the 7th, she will be back. So tune in at that time. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. God bless. Good night.